Welcome to the Girls Only Project podcast, where we will be discussing all things women in sport. We want to use this platform to discuss and share the challenges we face as women in sport.
It's really awesome to have Tony McCann on the Girls Only Project podcast with me today. I'm really stoked to have Tony here. She started her trail career very recently, actually, trail running career quite recently, with the podium finish at the 2000 Otter race. And then in this year, actually, just like last weekend, I think it was, went on to win it and break her own record, which is pretty cool. And then she also made her international debut in 2019 at the Golden Trail Series. So yeah, Tony, it's epic to have you here, and I can't wait to chat to you and just hear all about your journey so far.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me, Dan.
So yeah, maybe just tell us a little bit about like how you got into trail running, when it started, maybe like a little bit of history about your like sporting background, and we'll go from there.
Cool. I guess growing up, I was always quite an active kid. My dad had three girls, but I think he secretly always wanted a little boy to do all the boy things with him. So we grew up fishing and riding motorbikes and, you know, doing all the typically boy things, which I think now is probably changing quite a lot. So it's quite exciting to see more girls doing more typically adventure sports kept for boys.
Yeah, of course.
but growing up, that was what we did, and it was incredible kind of start to life. I think we were very lucky to experience the outdoors like we did. All through school, I was super sporty. I did pretty much every sport I could, squished it all in there, did some cricket, hockey, tennis, netball, you know, everything. And then in high school, I focused a lot on hockey and actually wasn't running at all. I had grown to hate running, but I loved hockey and I loved the team sport. So I focused a lot on that. And then in varsity, we moved to Cape Town. So I'm from Durban. I grew up in Durban.
Okay.
And then I moved to Cape Town for varsity. I played some hockey in my first and second year. And then I kind of decided that I didn't want to play sport anymore and became a bit of a slob. didn't do anything for a little while. And then when I started studying nutrition, actually, I kind of got my act together and I was like, no, I need to be healthy. So I started running just for health and fitness.
Yeah.
And then I got introduced to trail running. I went and did one of the Winelands trail runs as my first kind of introduction to it. And I was hooked. And kind of ever since then, I've just, you know, fallen more and more in love with trail running and the community that it brings. It's really super special, and I think Cape Town's the place to be to do that.
Yeah, of course. That's awesome. So I mean, childhood sounded great. I think just like lots of activeness and being outdoors and stuff like that, which is really cool, and I think also just sets you up to be a lover of the outdoors, I think is really cool. Of course, and with trail running, I think, as you said, like Cape Town's a place to be. It's just, we have just such an epic playground right here at our doorstep. I couldn't be luckier to be situated here and enjoy trail running. So that's great. Obviously it all happened quite quickly for you. I mean, I think within a few years, you were like, or like a few months even, I think, from like your first race to your first Otter Trail, it was like, quite a quick progression. How did you kind of like, did you know straight away, like, oh, I'm quite like, I feel like, yeah, I'm actually quite quick. Like I could be good at this. Or were you just kind of like going with the flow and seeing, you know, what was going to happen?
Growing up, like I said, I played and I did every sport possible. Mm. And one of the sports that I did quite competitively in junior school was cross country. I was actually very good at it. We went to South African champs and I competed at a fairly high level at quite a young age. And the reason I stopped in high school was because for someone so young to have, and, you know, classic type A, super competitive personality, I had to perform and I had to do well. And as a kid, that was a lot of pressure I had put on myself, and I'd just grown to hate the sport. So I kind of always knew at the back of my head that I was, you know, an okay runner. I knew I could do it. And when I did this Winelands run, you know, I out of chance ended up winning it, and it kind of sparked that competitive nature in me. And I was like, oh, well, you know, I was a good runner back then. Maybe I could be a good runner now. If, you know, I've won this off of very little training. Maybe I could, you know, take this somewhere. And just classic super competitive person needed to be the best. So I started training a bit more, and I think all of that happened, like you say, within a couple months. I won a couple races after that, ended up getting a coach, and from there to my first big kind of race, which was Otter in 2018, was in the space of 9 months. Wow. But yeah, I think it was, I'd always known that I was a pretty good runner, and I think just being a lover of the outdoors from a young age, it kind of just gelled quite perfectly.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, so talking about a coach, I think, who coached you? Megan McKenzie, I think.
Meg at the Run Project was my first coach. Her and Monty, they were great in kind of building my base and getting me prepared for some bigger training loads. And then in the middle of last year, I moved over to Aaron Van Eysen, who is my coach currently still, and he's the coach at Flat Rock Endurance. And both incredible coaches. They just, you know, both offered such amazing, they still do offer such amazing advice. And I think for anyone who has any sort of goal, whether you want to be an elite runner or if you just want to finish a race, like having someone there to support you in that is such an incredible thing. And both Meg and Aaron do that in an incredible way. So yeah, super quick little ad for both of them. Yeah. Get a coach. One of them are great.
Yeah, 100%. We all here to promote anyone. So that's all good. Because I was just thinking, Meg, we actually had Meg on the podcast. So she's also been on here, and I had a chat to her, and just, incredible person. Just so bubbly and energetic and amazing role model. So yeah, I'm sure she gave you a lot of help there getting you running. And then obviously, like, so then 2019 you had your debut, and you're obviously feeling like, okay, I'm really getting into this. And then I'm sure you had some plans for 2020. And then kind of, I think, you know, for all of us, lockdown hit.
Yeah.
And I mean, what went through your mind? How did you tackle it? I know we'll talk a little bit about the little movie that you put together solo, and we'll share it with everyone so they can have a watch. I mean, I watched it. It was really, really cool. And obviously you went through a lot during that time. So give us a summary.
I guess to kind of go back to 2019 and that kind of whole situation. So like you said, it was my kind of debut on the international scene. And man, bit of a shocker. the level that those ladies compete at is mind blowing.
Yeah.
So it was a massive eye opener for what I still needed to work on and what I needed to improve to be where I wanted to be. But it was an incredible experience, absolutely amazing to see such incredible outdoor nature, just like absolutely mind blowing and so different to what I've previously experienced. So unbelievably grateful for that opportunity. And then this year I'd planned to run in the Skyrunning World Series. Which would also again take me to some places that would tick off some locations on my bucket list.
Yeah.
But you know, there's always next year for that. So I'm not, you know, as much as I'm disappointed that it didn't happen, it was a great year for building and working on those areas that I needed to improve on. And you know, with Otter this year, I've had my race. I've I've had my fill of racing this year, so I'm happy. But obviously there's more to come in the future, and I'm super excited about it. But yeah, lockdown obviously kind of put a spanner in the works for many people, and myself included. And yeah, I guess it's been a learning year for sure. Lots of lessons learned during lockdown.
Yeah, of course. And I think, I think thinking back to what I watched, I mean, you spoke something you spoke about was kind of like your identity a lot. You referred to it, and kind of like, who are you and what defines you and stuff like that. And I think it's something that, I mean, a lot of athletes struggle with, particularly like in their transition from, you know, moving out of being an athlete or retiring and stuff like that. And obviously it's something that you came across now while you were, you know, knocked on a time to think about these things and like, oh, well, what do I do now? I can't run. So I can't get outside. It's just quite interesting. I think that kind of happened for you at that time, because I think it's something that a lot of athletes struggle with.
You know, surprisingly, that was one of the things that a lot of people reached out to me about, and athletes and non-athletes as well. Just a lot of people who said that, you know, when you have something that you're passionate taken away from you, whether it's running or whether it's baking, baking's actually a bad example because everyone was a baker during lockdown. But you know what I mean? Like when you have that thing that you love taken away from you, it's so easy to forget about the other facets of yourself that make you who you are, because we're not one dimensional. We've all got lots of things that make us who we are. And it's quite easy to get fixated, especially in those situations where that one thing that you absolutely love is taken away from you, to kind of forget about the other things, and you become so obsessed with the fact that you can't be or do what you want to do. And I think it's quite a nice realization to just take a step back from that and examine the other areas of your life that, you know, you maybe have neglected in the past or, and I mean, I'm saying all of this, but you know, during lockdown, it was a big struggle for me because I'd been so engrossed in running and it had become so much of who I was that when it was taken away, it felt like there was not much of me left. And you know, it's taken that, or having it taken away from me to make me look at the other areas of my life that I, you know, want to develop a bit more again. And, you know, I want to read more and I want to bake more and I want to cook more because I love those things just as much as I love running. But you so quickly forget that when, you know, it's a stressful situation and you're just not in a good headspace. But it was one of those things that a lot of people reached out to me and were like, thank you so much for pointing it out, because, you know, it's something that we struggled with as well. And it was really hard. I think it was quite nice to know that, you know, again, we were all in the same boat. We all experienced the same struggles. And I think it was a nice way for us to connect and be able to speak about those things.
Yeah, for sure. Relatable. It was so relatable to everyone. As you say, not just like in a sporting sense, but in, every day. I mean, people can get consumed by their jobs and their careers, and also just like kind of start to ignore other things or put them on the back burner. And it really affects you. It really, when you start to realize it like really like gets you. I think like for me, it was something like when I retired from rowing, and actually like before I retired, it was something that I was struggling with massively, my identity. And I think it was a realization that I'd been like so consumed by my sport and by achieving my goals that there were so many things that I'd kind of ignored actually. And it was really like, it really got to me. And it was actually one of like the biggest decisions in my retirement, is that I was like, I actually need to spend more time doing other stuff. I can't let this be like all consuming of me. It was like a massive realization for me and something that was really hard to like confront.
It's an incredibly difficult thing to confront, like you say, but isn't it quite quite special in another sense, because you do get to re-explore these areas of yourself that you've maybe neglected. And that's a beautiful thing, to kind of explore the forgotten corners that had gathered dust.
Yeah, 100%. No, I totally agree. And yeah, and like you said, it's like small things like, I want to read more, or I want to bake more, or whatever, like those. And 100%, those were all the, it was also small things like that I felt like I wasn't enjoying anymore. Like, what are the little things that I actually enjoy to do?
Yeah.
And I find like love in. So, I agree. It's awesome. And it's amazing that you, I think gave people like something to relate to, and almost something to feel like, oh, it's not bad for me to feel this way. I think that's amazing. And it's something that like we all need to talk about more. We need to talk about these things that are going on in our lives, that other people can relate and feel like it's not taboo, and like we can't talk about it, and it's like not bad to feel the way that we are. So it's cool. And I think like we'll definitely share the little movie, because I think I've watched it actually a few times, because it was really epic and I could just relate so much to it. Like it was really cool.
Thank you.
Yeah,
and it's so funny though. My mom would tell you that she would be shocked about me having done this video diary, because I'm generally quite a closed book. It's taken me a long time to be able to talk about my emotions. And when she watched it, she was just like, who is this person? I've just been crying with you for so long. It's just so not like you. So like you say, it's such an important thing for people to be able to talk about their emotions. And, it's taken me a long time to figure out how to do that as well. So if this movie's helped someone else do the same thing, then that's a privilege, I guess.
Yeah, I'm super sure
about that.
I mean, I guess to talk about like vulnerability, it's so difficult. It's like you never want to put yourself out there. You don't know what you're going to get back. And I think that is the hardest thing. It's like the fear of, is this going to get taken well or not? What are people going to think about me if I stop?
Yeah, there were definitely some sleepless nights in the lead up to the launch.
yeah, I'm sure. But I mean, I think it's been all positive feedback. Totally positive, it has feedback, been. So.
It has been awesome. Very positive.
Awesome stuff. That's great. And then, I think like something else that you kind of went through in your running was, I think it was like when you got back into your running, you struggled with it a little bit, like when you spoke about like your eating and like you've spoken about like your orthorexia a little bit. I think maybe just like, if you want to like touch on that and just speak about it a little bit, it would be awesome.
Yeah. So it kind of all stemmed from, fasty days and classic first year spread, second year spread. It kind of all just gained a bit of momentum, and, I had stopped exercising as much, and, you naturally put on a bit of weight. But me, it was the end of the world, basically. And then I went and studied nutrition, and I kind of learned about how you needed to eat, and it all came from a place of my love for food. I studied nutrition because I love cooking and I love food, and I love wholesome foods. It's something that I'm super passionate about. But in my pursuit of bodily perfection, I ended up kind of just taking it too far, and that tying in with my running and realizing that I was maybe kind of good at this thing, it all kind of just compounded. And I ended up, just trying to be the perfect athlete and the perfect eater and super healthy. And I cut out everything basically except for carrots and all the vegetables. at the end of the day, it was super unhealthy, and I just wasn't feeling myself right. And it took a major family intervention for me to see that.
Okay.
It's been a struggle. If I think anyone in a competitive field where body weight plays a role, so whether it's dancing or, and I'm sure for rowing as well, it comes into play. And for all of these things, gymnastics, running, all of these things where a smaller body is perceived as fitter and stronger and, you know, power to weight ratio and all of these things, like they all come into play, and you're trying to be the best you can be. So you think that being smaller is better. So I was just being, you know, super fussy and super picky and just not fueling myself optimally. And it actually forced me to stop running for quite a while. I wasn't allowed to do anything for about 6 months. And then when I eventually started being able to run again, it was a super slow process and very carefully monitored. My family was checking in with me quite a lot. And yeah, I mean, I eventually got to a place where I went for a run the one day and I was just like, you know what? If I want to do this thing, I need to eat the croissant and I need to fuel myself right. And it was such a simple realization. Like, my friend had bought me a croissant the one morning and I cried because I didn't want to eat it. Went for this run and I was like, you know what? Actually, that croissant was delicious and it's making me be allowed to run around this mountain right now.
Yeah.
And that's such a special thing.
Yeah.
And you know, like the process and the struggle with food is an ongoing thing. And I think it's something that all women or men, you know, it doesn't specify gender, but the relationship with food is something that you'll always battle with if you've been through this.
Yes.
And it's kind of having that question and having that recenter. And that's been super helpful for me. Like asking the question, like, why am I concerned about what I'm eating? Is it because I'm concerned about my body? Is it because, is it not healthy? Do I want to eat this to fuel myself? It's become a series of questions that I need to ask myself when I'm in a position where I'm maybe not going to, you know, not wanting to eat something because, you know, I'm worried it's going to, I don't even know what. So yeah, I mean, it's been a long process of healing and I don't think it's definitely not finished. But you know, it's definitely a heck of a lot better than it has ever been. And I've become so much more open about talking about it. And I think that is super helpful as well. To be able to speak to someone and be like, look, I'm struggling today for X, Y, and Z reason. And I've managed to figure out the triggers for it. And, you know, it is just always a constant learning process. And yeah, I mean, hopefully from me being open about it, it helps someone else to also realize that it's okay to talk about. And if anyone ever wanted to come and speak to me about it, like, I'd be super happy to kind of give a bit more insight into my journey. Because yeah, I think the more we speak about these things and the more we normalize a healthy body, the better it's going to be for everyone.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I mean, for sure. I think, you know, there are probably people sitting there struggling with, you know, this or having anxiety around, you know, food and eating and nutrition and that kind of stuff. And it's I think for people to hear stories like this and know they're not alone, I think is super helpful. Mm-hmm. Even if they kind of don't talk about it, but they hear that they're not alone in it is a massive win. So, like really grateful for you to be really open about your story. It's awesome. For you to be able to share like this, and I think it was definitely going to help a lot of people. And I know it's a journey. I know it's probably not over yet. It's probably something that, you know, you have to kind of work at all the time.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if it goes away or if, like, you know, you still have struggles. Like, is it still quite like an anxious thing for you, or do you feel like, you know, no, I've got it under control? And
you know, it kind of comes and goes. I'll go through phases where it's a little bit more prominent in my life, maybe because I'm stressed about something, or something has happened in my personal life that kind of triggers some sort of insecurity.
Yeah.
But like I said, you know, I've got such an amazing support system. So when I feel these things, I either go to them and I talk to them about it, or I recenter myself and I do some, you know, reflecting and I go, well, what is it that's making me feel this way? Is it valid? Is it not valid?
Yeah.
And how am I dealing with it? And I think it's, you know, everyone's got their own ways of dealing with anxieties or stresses or whatever their triggers are. And I think it's to to be aware of those triggers and then to be able to react to them in a healthy way is, it certainly helped me. Mm. And yeah, running is definitely a way that I've used to help manage that anxiety and that kind of perfectionism.
Yeah, for sure.
I think a lot of people strive for, well, that I strive for anyway.
Mm. Yeah. yeah, well, I'm sure like in the running, I'm sure it's a massive thing. I mean, obviously nutrition is really important. And I think, like you said, you kind of got to say, you're like, if, you know, I have to fuel myself to kind of achieve my goals. Like I need to be eating right. And so I think it's, I'm sure it's something you spend a lot of time on and trying to like figure out, okay, what works for me, what doesn't work for me? Like what's the best thing? Yeah. What's going to make me feel great about what I'm eating and going to fuel me the most, you know, for what I want to achieve. I mean, having a nutrition background as well, I'm sure it's super helpful.
Super helpful. It's one of those blessings, but it's also a bit of a curse because it's one of those things where you know, it kind of takes the joy out of eating a little bit sometimes. No, but again, I think, you know, that was probably that. I mean, I know it was one of those things that kind of triggered the whole process of the excessively under eating and excessively healthy eating. And to kind of rein that in, and to realize that, you know, health is not a salad, it's also your mental health. So if that's a piece of cake, or if that's a big bowl of pasta, or if it's a slice of pizza, like that is health. It's not necessarily everything that you put in your mouth has to be green and leafy. But yeah, the nutrition thing is, it's a blessing because I do know how to fuel myself, and it's something that now comes naturally to me. And I definitely take that for granted. I don't realize how much I think it actually does help. Mm. But it obviously does come with its drawbacks in some ways too.
Yeah, for sure. And like future plans, what have we got in the cards? Obviously you said like you've done your race this year. But yeah, what are you training for next? What's the next big thing?
So there's a local FKT. So if anyone doesn't know what that is, it's a fastest known time. So it's a set course from generally a point to a point, or can be a loop, doesn't really matter. But there's a local one that I'm excited to give a go at.
Okay.
So that probably towards the end of the year. And then there's the Whale Trail at the beginning of next year. So just some more local stuff. I think everything's so uncertain for next year. You know, no one really knows what's going to be open and what's not going to be open. But I have started kind of making plans to go and race in Europe again next year. So that's on the cards if everything kind of plays ball.
Yes.
Which would be amazing.
Yeah, of course.
But otherwise, nothing really planned past Jan.
Okay.
And I don't know, I think after this year, I'm not really looking to plan much further in advance than that. But, you know, if I would love to race the Sky Running World Series again.
Okay.
Or again, try and do what I was supposed to do this year.
Yes.
So that would be amazing. That would be a super privilege. And the lady who came third at Otter this year is one of the 2019 Skyrunner World Champs. She came second overall in the entire ranking. So she is an incredible athlete. She focuses mainly on the longer distances. So I think Otter was a bit of a sprint for her, which is ridiculous because it's 42Ks.
Yeah.
But anyway, she's an incredible athlete. So it made me super excited to try and compete at in the Sky Running Series. So that would be my main goal. And, you know, if I can get to UTMB and Chamonix in France, that would also be a dream come true. It's like the Olympics for trail running. That would be an incredible opportunity if I can get there as well. So, you know, we'll see what next year brings. I'm not setting too many plans in place just yet. Kind of waiting to see what happens.
Of course. I think that's very wise. No one really knows what the future holds. And And then, yeah, in terms of like you said, like art is more of a sprint, and then obviously you get some longer stuff. Like, what kind of distances like do you focus on? Is it like the shorter stuff? Is it just, or are you like willing to do like the longer stuff as well?
I think for now I'm happy to kind of cap my distance at 40 Ks, okay. Marathon distance. You know, I've only been running competitively for about 2 and a bit years now, 3 years, I guess. So 40 Ks to me is still quite, you know, it's a doable distance, but it's, you know, still quite far for me. And I guess I'm still young in the sense that I'm racing young, but I'm also still kind of young age-wise. So while I can race faster, I want to, you know, stick to the shorter distances and keep my speed up, because as soon as you transition into the longer stuff, you know, it's a completely different ball game. It's a slower pace. It's more mental, a lot more endurance. And it's a lot of women excel in their later years in those ultra distance events. Because, you know, they're so much more mentally prepared and so mentally tough. I think if I had to try and do one of those now, I probably wouldn't get very far. Don't have that mental just stamina quite yet. But eventually maybe I'll get there, but for now it's definitely it sounds silly, but more of the sprint distances, I guess you could say. Like between 20 and 40 Ks I'm most comfortable.
Yeah, it's funny to call a marathon a sprint, but
yeah, no, it's ridiculous. But when you're in trail running and people are running, you know, 240 miles, you're like, I'll stick to my 40 Ks though.
No, for sure. And I think those longer distances as well, it's probably just all about like miles and the legs. I mean, they're probably just over the years, just accumulated miles and miles and miles. And it's like, I don't know how they do those long, long ones.
Oh no.
It's crazy.
I don't know.
Absolutely crazy.
I have so much respect for them, but I have no idea how they do it.
Yeah. Cheapers. It's wild.
Engaging tractor mode and just going.
Diesel engine.
Yeah exactly.
for sure. Okay, awesome. That's really, really cool, and super excited for you. And I will definitely be watching, keeping our eye out, and wishing you all the best for the few Thank months you. Ahead, I think is what we'll say for now. But just before you go, have like a few quick fire questions that we ask I ask all the guests, just to get to like know you a little bit better. I'm just going to shoot them away. Okay, so what is the best place or country your sport has taken you?
The Dolomites, in the Dolomites in Italy.
Awesome. Okay, cool. Are you a morning person?
No. Definitely not.
Oh my gosh, I thought you'd be like, you're 100% sunrises. No. Obviously. Come on.
My mom was literally telling me this morning, she got up at 4:30 to go for a run at 5, and I was like, well, good luck getting me up to come with you, because it's not happening.
Oh my gosh. Okay, cool. What is your favorite hobby outside of running?
Cooking.
Okay, awesome. You guys will see if you watch Tony's movie as well, Sourdough. I think she got it. Had lots of practice.
Shame. I had lots of practice, but unfortunately I killed my sourdough starter. I left it in the oven and then turned it on by accident. I forgot about her.
Oh, gosh.
Rest in peace, Primrose.
Yeah. Oh, she had a name as well. That's fantastic.
Yes.
Okay, awesome. What is your favorite sport to watch?
Oh, I'm going to sound like the worst person ever, but I don't really watch sport. Actually, recently I've started watching cross country mountain bike racing, which is so epic. I've got so much respect for those people. They are,
insane.
You know, absolutely insane athletes, so much technical skill and endurance. Mm-hmm. It's incredible. So Red Bull TV, if you ever get a chance, the XCO champs, insane.
Yes, agreed. Red Bull TV is amazing. Lots of insane stuff on there. Do yourself a favor.
Yeah.
Okay. What have you done that you are most proud of?
That's really hard.
Yeah, there's a bit of a tricky one. I throw it in there.
What am I really proud of? Learning to be vulnerable.
Awesome.
I'm really proud of that. Yeah.
Very, very, yeah. That's amazing. Incredible. it's really, really hard. So I can relate. What is your favorite food?
Also hard. Something I eat every day, oats.
Okay, awesome.
Yep.
Porridge.
I'm a porridge person.
Yeah. Do you have any pets?
Not in Cape Town. I fostered 2 cats during lockdown.
Okay.
But they got adopted the other day. So very happy, but also sad missing them. Back home, we have 2 Boston Terriers.
Okay, so nice.
The apple of my dad's eye.
Just because his kids aren't home anymore.
Well.
What is one thing you can't live without?
Coffee.
Okay, good. Makes sense. Name one thing on your bucket list.
One thing, that's so hard.
You got to choose one.
Oh goodness, so much pressure. First thing that pops into my mind is to go and hike up Mount Fuji in Japan.
Okay, amazing. That was very, very cool. What is the best advice you have ever been given?
Let rip.
That's fantastic. That's great.
My friend, it was before the first time I ran Otter in 2018, and he was basically like, you know, you've got nothing to lose, just let rip, just see where you go, see what happens. And I did, and you know, that's where it all started. So
awesome.
It was very, great very advice.
No, amazing. I love it. Simple.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, Tony, it's been amazing speaking to you. Thank you so much for giving us your time. And yeah, it's just been so great to hear your story, and thank you for sharing with us, being vulnerable with us. It's been really, really cool. And I'm sure you're going to be a lot of people that can relate to what you said, and hopefully encourage others to speak out and address these tough issues that we're talking about. So thanks very much. We really, really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, and keep up the amazing work. I've been listening to the podcast and it's great. I really enjoy what you guys are doing, and I think it's important for us to showcase the incredible women that are in South Africa, because there are so many amazing athletes here. So it's awesome to see you highlighting that and the incredible work that they're doing. So thank you. Yeah, super stoked to be a part of this.
If you would like to find out more about the Girls Only Project, visit our website at www.girlsonlyproject.org, or follow us at Go Project SA on Twitter, or at Girls Only Project on Facebook and Instagram.